I would like to read our text again according to Beck's translation in an American translation. When will God's kingdom come? The Pharisees asked Jesus. People can't see the coming of God's kingdom, he answered. They'll not say, look, here it is or there it is. You see, God's kingdom is now among you. The time will come, he told the disciples, when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man and will not see it. People will say, look, look, there he is, or here he is. Don't go off and run after them. On Wednesday of this week, we confessed the second article, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, and Luther's explanation thereof, where Luther says the kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. A lucid explanation of this much-debated term. And in the concluding stanza of the Battle Hymn of the Reformation, Luther says, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth, which shows you that you can't live rightly now, nor in the life to come, unless you have the kingdom of God. John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching exactly the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is here. But only Christ said, the time is fulfilled. That John the Baptist did not say. He added that, Christ added that to the message. The time is fulfilled. And St. Paul echoes that in Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. The kingdom of God is forgiveness of sins. And that's Christmas, isn't it? That's Christmas. If you really know what the forgiveness of sins means and is, you have everything. Now, you know as well as I that there are a lot of mistaken notions about what the kingdom of God is. There are materialistic ideas, and likely the Pharisees in this text, when they said, when is the kingdom of God going to come, had materialistic ideas of the kingdom. They wanted Christ to be an earthly king. I needn't expound on that very much. You all know that. But it has strange ways of showing its ugly head in every generation. In our generation, or in the 60s at least, we were talking about the Great Society. We were going to wipe out poverty. We were going to wipe out prejudice. We were going to wipe out war. And the harder you try to wipe them out, the more they come at you. It almost seems that way. God does not promise us that we're going to wipe out poverty, that all prejudice is going to be gone, that there will be a society in which we have no war. In fact, he warns us there will be wars and rumors of wars. And when he said to the disciples, the day will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, he's of course talking about the agony of the Christian living in all of this, in this world of sin and sorrow and perversion of what the kingdom of God is really supposed to be. But worse than that, the theologians come and tell us that Jesus came to institute the eschatological kingdom of God, meaning that what that practically means is that he's going to restore the Garden of Eden on this earth. That the coming of Christ was the restoration of that which Adam and Eve lost. Now that can be rightly understood, of course. But Christ did not promise us that we were going to have a utopia in this life. The curse still remains, doesn't it? People die. People die. All alike die. Christians too, which reminds us that the curse will remain until the last day, until the final moment. Christ didn't hang on the cross to teach us that we can go around without clothes now. He hung naked on the cross because he was cursed in our stead. Here, not long ago, I read about, and I wish I'd have read the article more attentively because it says a lot. Some man in Detroit or Toledo, I don't know just where it was refusing to mow his lawn and trim his trees because he wants to leave it like the Garden of Eden, and of course his neighbors are objecting, and they use the law to force this man to mow his lawn and trim his trees because the man is nuts. I mean, Christ did not come to institute an earthly kingdom. And of course, all the millennialists, the sects, and the cults are related to this, aren't they? The fleshly ideas about the kingdom of God here in this life. And Jesus says, don't listen to people when they say, lo here, lo there, which means human ideas, sinful ideas about the kingdom of God. But it raises its ugly head in the church, too, doesn't it? A pastor once told me of a lady in his congregation, she was fanatic, who, when her husband came home one noon for lunch, she laid a note on the table which said, God said man shall live by bread alone, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God, read your Bible. Well, now you laugh at that. But, you know, we are tempted by such kind of ideas, and those are the things, these false ideas that even in the church that, you know, make life even more burdensome. And no wonder Jesus said the day would come when you would long to see a day of the Son of Man. The current issue of Christianity Today's got a picture of Santa Claus hanging on the cross. Now, I haven't had time to read that, but I know what it says. Here come these Santa Claus put-downers every year. Now, I'm not aiding and abetting Santa Claus. But there's a lot more to Christmas than cussing about Santa Claus, isn't there? When our children were small, my wife and I, one Christmas, fell victim to this stuff. We said, this year, we're going to buy a minimum of gifts, and they're going to be only practical, no toys. Well, Christmas came, the children didn't complain, but there was something wrong. So I said to my wife, I'll go buy some toys. And let's give them to the toys. She said, better not, or they will be more confused that Santa Claus came late. So the next year, we did buy toys. We bought toys, and unfortunately, one of them was a broken toy. It was inside the box, and the child opened the gift. Wouldn't work. Now what? So I called the manager of the store Christmas morning, and I said, unfortunately, the toy I bought at your store was broken. Would you, sir, please open the store and give me a different one? He did it gladly. I was really very thankful. Then I came home, and the child said, who fixed that toy? And I said, Santa Claus came back and fixed it. And I don't think I did wrong on that occasion. The child was very happy. And we should never destroy the happiness of a child so long as that child knows that Christ was born on Christmas to redeem us. Now, those of you who think that the myth of Santa Claus should be wiped out, what about the Christmas tree? What about giving each other gifts? If you're going to be consistent, then you better say Christmas means only that God gave to man, not that man gave to man. Can't I say, too, that the giving of gifts obfuscates the message of the gospel? No, it doesn't, does it? It's not wrong. It's not wrong if one of your members runs a department store and sells all these gifts at Christmas, so long as he seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added thereto. If you're going to do away with Santa Claus, why not preach that only people who know Christ can be thankful on Thanksgiving and say, let's do away with Thanksgiving except for Christians? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That's a sort of a pietistic idea. We don't go around preaching that kind of thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And God can bless even the wandering mind of a child, wondering mind of a child who believes in Santa Claus, he'll get rid of that in due time, won't he? Just so long as he still seeks the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We pray, God, that we don't fall prey to materialistic, ascetic, and pietistic ideas about the kingdom so long as we keep it in right focus. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.